Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom family. Mishpocha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Bill Weiss, I'm speaking to him at his home in Orange County, California. Bill, what type of work do you do?
I'm a real estate broker.
And you know, the thing that is so amazing to me, Mishpocha, is Bill is not someone that you would expect to have an experience such as he had. I mean, he's just a normal working man. Well, maybe not as normal as most. He's never had alcohol, drugs, no problems along those lines. Bill, ever been involved in the New Age?
Never. I've been saved since I was 16.
You know, I can see why God selected you for this experience, because I've got a letter here, which I read on the Monday show, from your pastor, who many people have heard of, Pastor Gary Greenwald of Eagle's Nest Ministries. And it says that you've been a faithful member of his church for 18 years, and he is convinced that this experience really happened because of the change he saw in your life. Another one from the former chief of police of Placenta, California, he says pretty much the same thing your pastor said about you. Bill, have you ever been in prison?
No, of course not.
I can see why God chose you. He wrote a book, which we're making available this week, brand new, just literally off the press. The title is called 23 Minutes in Hell, because on November 23rd at 3 a.m. in 1998, he had an encounter in which he fell into hell. Now, when you fell into hell, let me ask you a question. Do you know where hell is located?
I do. It's in the center of the earth, and that's where it's at right now until Judgment Day, when it's cast into the lake of fire and into outer darkness. But right now, I understood when I was there that I was in the center of the earth. And there's like 49 scriptures that talk about hell being in the center of the earth. And Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, Ephesians 4:9, and so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's when he went down to paradise side, which was divided by a great gulf fixed. And Ezekiel 26:20, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and set thee in the low part of the earth in places desolate of old with them that go down into the pit. Many other scriptures.
And how many years had you been a believer in Jesus?
36 years. I am right now 36 years. That was 7 years ago, so.
Okay. Now, when you went to hell, I understand that Jesus purposely took away your memory that you were a believer. So you experienced it as a non-believer. Did the thought cross your mind, I wish I'd believed in Jesus, or no?
No, it didn't come to my mind at all. There was nothing about really God that came to my mind. You might think that it would, but it did not. And again, he kept it from my mind that I was a Christian. Of course, he can do anything, but just to give a scriptural reference, in Luke 18:34, and he told the apostles about his death, it said he kept it hidden from them, even though he told them it was hidden from them. So he's able to do that, of course. And again, it was for me to just experience the hopelessness of what those people feel. If I would have known him, I would have had hope that he was going to rescue me out. But there I was, as a person unsaved would be, and knowing that you'll never, ever get out of this place. It's for eternity.
Tell me more about what you saw with your own eyes in hell.
Well, besides the prison cells and the bars and pits of fire, there's prison cells, there's pits of fire, and there's a huge like hole about a mile across of raging pit of fire. I saw those things, and I saw demonic creatures of all sizes and shapes, all grotesque, all deformed and twisted, no symmetry to their bodies, from small spider-like creatures to maggots and worms to huge 12 to 13 foot tall beasts, which are demons or fallen angels. And so they all seem to have a hatred for man. They all want to torment man.
Now, why do you think they had this hatred for man?
Well, God says in Genesis chapter 2 that we're made in God's image. And all through the scriptures, there are scriptures that talk about that they hate God, that the enemy hates God, so he hates his creation, which are us.
Now, in your book, you talk about degrees of punishment in hell?
Yes, there are different degrees. I understood that there were people in worse spots than I was in different locations and different levels of torment. And when I got back again, I studied the scriptures and discovered there were many scriptures that talk about that. Matthew 23:14 says, "Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation," inferring a lesser. Matthew 10:15, "It shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah," inferring a less tolerable. Luke 12:42 talks about the servant beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Then Hebrews 10:28 is an interesting one. It says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under the foot the Son of God?" So there is different levels of torment.
So someone like an Adolf Hitler would be in the worst level, probably.
Yes. But all the levels are terrible. There's not anything that's pleasant. It's all torment and torture, and it's not just one thing. But like I said, it's you experience the heat and burning and fire and the disgusting foul odors that just make you sick. There's not enough air to breathe. There's no oxygen, very little oxygen, and no humidity in the air. So you can't get a breath. You gasp for every little breath to get. There's no mercy in hell. There's fear. The fear is just overwhelming. It says the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, Proverbs 10:24. And so you have to endure all that, the stench, the no rest. You don't ever get to sleep. There's no peace of mind. You're also naked in hell, just another form of shame, something to endure. And it says hell is naked before him and destruction has no covering, Job 26:6. That predominantly means he can look upon hell, but it also, you are physically naked in hell. Again, you have to experience all these things. Just one of them would kill you. But yet you have to go through all of them for eternity.
In your understanding, what is the purpose of hell?
Well, God has to punish sin. And it's just like he takes people to heaven for eternity, there's a eternal punishment for sin. And he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's not his desire. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 33:11 says. But people are given a choice. And we have to choose Jesus now on this side of life. Otherwise, that's where we're going to go. There's no other place that he made. He made heaven and hell, and that's the only other place there is left to go.
Now, what is your recollection of what you were seeing or where you were when all of a sudden Jesus showed up in hell?
Well, we were traveling up this tunnel, and that where all these demons were lined around the tunnel, and I was thinking, who could fight off just one of these creatures? They're just ferocious and they have such incredible strength. And I was in all this terror and fear. And then all of a sudden, without any kind of notice, just this bright light showed up. And I knew immediately that it was the Lord. And I said, "Jesus." And he just said, "I am." And when he said that, I just fell. I just fell at his feet like a dead man, like it says in Revelation 1. Where John fell at his feet as a dead man. And I was just so grateful that he saved me from that place. He put it back in my mind at that moment that I was a Christian. He restored my memory that I was a Christian. And so all I wanted to do was worship him and thank him for saving me out of that place of torment.
And guess what, Bill? I believe that what you were experiencing, that this hunger to worship him is what a normal walk of every believer is supposed to be.
Exactly.
You just realized it more.
Right. I've always loved the Lord and worshiped him all my life here, my Christian life. But after I met him face to face and gone through this, You just wanted to worship him. I didn't really want to ask him a lot of questions. I just wanted to worship and thank him forever and ever and be so grateful for him and what he's done for us.
But you did have a few questions.
What
did you ask him, or what did he say?
It just popped in my head. I didn't even get to ask. I just thought it, and he would answer. And the first thing I did ask him is, why didn't I know you there? And that's when he answered, I wanted you to experience what they feel, the hopelessness, being lost in that place forever. And if I would have known him, I wouldn't have not have experienced that. And I said, you know, why did you send me to this place?
And sure, why you?
Right. Well, first I said, why did you send me? And he said, because people do not believe that hell is real. Even some of my own people do not believe that hell exists. That shocked me. But I have come to find out that a lot of people think it's just metaphorical, just allegorical. It's not really suffering. It's maybe some kind of separation from God, but it's not really torment. It's not really flames. None of that's true.
Bill Weiss, you have shared this story many times in front of groups. What is the normal reaction when they hear you sharing this?
Well, Christians have gotten more committed to witnessing and realizing that we need to open our mouths as Christians, not just go to church and sit and soak up the word. We need to get out there and open our mouths, just like it says in Ezekiel 30.
Yeah, but it's not politically correct in this polite, seeker-sensitive society that we live in. I mean, this isn't the norm, what you're describing. But after seeing hell, is there any reason you would keep quiet about Jesus when you had an opportunity?
Ever. I have to look for every opportunity, because I look at people and think, how many of them don't know you, Lord? And if I don't open my mouth, they may go to that place. And then God holds us accountable if we don't
speak. Bill, we're out of time. I'm going to hold you accountable, because to whom much is given, much is required. You have heard much. But I tell you, you need this book, and you need to give it to as many people as you know that don't know Jesus, especially young people. The title is 23 Minutes in Hell, available for a donation of $15. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.